Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts, thankful for this opportunity to hear from heaven, dear Lord God. Father, these great people did not come to hear from me, they came to hear from you. So I thank you for pouring your spirit out upon us today. But Lord, I pray not for New Day alone, but right next door is Pastor John and Corona Friends. Bless them today, dear Lord God. Father, as Pastor Chuck at Crossroads, bless them, Heavenly Father. Pastor Mike at Living Truth, bless them, Heavenly Father. Pastor Ron down there at New Hope, bless them, Heavenly Father. Bless Pastor Jeremy at Connection Church. Bless Corona AME, Father God. Bless Faith Bible Fellowship, dear Lord God. Bless us all, Father. I pray that you would just bless the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church today, dear Lord God. Pour your spirit out upon the Inland Empire, Heavenly Father. Glory and honor, they belong only to you. Let all who agree with that say, amen, amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values. Say, I will worship, I will connect, I will be equipped, and I will serve. So today is part two of the sermon series, I Matter. And I got a lot of feedback from you guys last week. I really appreciate it and awesome. And this is part two. Our text is Psalms 18, verse 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Psalms 18, verse 6. And in verse 6, the psalmist says this, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. I'll say that again. Verse 6, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. We need to cry out to the Lord in our distress. Sometimes we cry out to other people. God bless them, but they're not able to do what God is able to do. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. That was before the temple was built. And so he is actually hearing you from heaven, from eternity. My cry to him reached his ears. So repeat after me, please. Say, I matter.
I matter.
Say it again, please.
I matter.
You may not matter to others, but you got to know that you definitely matter to God. That has to really get settled in because people are going to disappoint you. They're going to let you down. You guys that run businesses, people are not going to show up to work. You guys that are supervisors and managers, people are going to trip. They're going to act ugly. They're going to tell you they're going to be here forever. Then a month later, they're going to give you their 2 weeks notice. It's amazing how unreliable people can be. But God is faithful. He's faithful. We're going to look at John chapter 6. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. And let me give you some backstory in this as you're turning in Bibles or swiping on your devices, scrolling, whatever you have to do to get to John 6, verses 16 through 21. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and that was miraculous. You know, he just took a little fish, a little bread, and fed. That was 5,000 men that were counting. So we really think that was 15, 20,000 people there. So he took a little bit and took care of a lot of people. Now, that's a miracle in and of itself. Now, we're going to pick the story up because after the feeding was over, I'm going to read these verses here, then I'm going to walk you guys through it. We'll unpack it. Verse 16, it says, that evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake towards Capernaum. Verse 18, soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified. Verse 20, but he called out to them, don't be afraid, I am here. 21, then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. I want to share something with you. Let's look at verse 16 again. Look at 16. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. Now, when you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it tells us, we get a little bit more information, and it says that Jesus had instructed them to go to Capernaum, okay, while he went up to the mountain to pray. But they got down to the shore and they hesitated. And I'm thinking, why did they hesitate? Why didn't they just step into it? Now, you got to remember, these guys were fishermen. They were from that region. And at any given time, a storm could brew up on the Sea of Galilee. They just show up and booyah. Now, this is just me. But as I'm looking at this, why would you hesitate? Why would it be so difficult for you just to get in a boat and go to Capernaum? What is the big deal? Why couldn't you just do that? And I just got a feeling they looked out and saw that storm brewing. And all of a sudden, they didn't want to go. Now, you look and see, that's why we got to learn to walk by faith and not by. Because they didn't like the look of the weather. And you got to think about it. Early in the ministry, Jesus had told them, okay, everybody, get in a boat. Let's go to the other side, okay? And that's not this time. That was another time, okay? Months before this. They get in a boat. Jesus goes to sleep in the boat. All of a sudden, they're excited about going to the other side. I think about Gilligan's Island, 4-3-day cruise. Everything is great. And the weather started getting rough. But all of a sudden, they begin to get water in their boat. The wind is blowing, the waves are raising, and they become terrified. So much so, they wake up, and they wake Jesus up, and they say this to him. Don't you care that we're about to die? We're perishing. The assumption is we're going to drown. That storm must have been fierce because these were fishermen. They've been in storms before, but there was something, and I believe demonic, about this storm. It was huge. But Jesus was asleep in the boat. Jesus gets up out the boat, and he says, tells the water to stop and the wind to cease and peace be still and all of that stuff, okay? But he looks at his disciples and says, oh, ye of little faith. And you look at the Greek that's written, it can be kind of like, where is your faith? Like, where's your faith? And so, they're amazed, like, wow, you control the wind and the sea and the water. Then he gets to the other side, and that's when the man had all the demons, remember? And so he cast the demons out. As a legion of demons, they go into thousands of pigs to go off the cliff. They're seeing all of this. Well, fast forward, now they're about to get in a boat. They see the storm coming. But Jesus is up in the mountain praying. And they might be thinking, we need you not up there, we need you here. And some of you right now, this week, you see a storm brewing. You see something on the horizon. You see something that's concerning you. And Jesus is telling you to walk into it. And you're nervous and you're hesitating because you're going to a place you've never been before. Or you're not something you're not comfortable with. It doesn't look like what I'm used to. I don't know those people. I've never done that kind of thing before. Whatever it is, it's like he's asking you to step into it. And often because, and I shared this before, because it doesn't look like what we're comfortable with, we get afraid. And then we want to back back. And I think they were just hesitating. Storm is brewing. We will take this storm if you would just come off this mountain and get in the boat with us. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to go pray. You go. In 2015, my son Brian had spilled boiling water on his foot. And at that time, I think I was in Malawi. I was over in Africa for 5 weeks, okay? I did 4 nations in 5 weeks. I was busy. 12 flights between countries and all that. It was a lot. Talking to Jackie and using Facebook Messenger. And she says, yeah, Brian spilled some water on his foot. And I'm like, no big deal, right? Boiling water, he was cooking pasta or something. It happens. I think the next day she said his foot is swelling. My foot swelling? I mean, I understand a blister, but why is his foot swelling? And she said, we're going to go get that checked out. And most of you guys know, Brian was ended up in the hospital for 38 days. Was discovered that he has the disease lupus, which we don't receive. And then his kidneys are beginning to shut down. Fluid began to back up because lupus is an autoimmune disease, so instead of fighting off antibodies, it attacks the organs. So it began to attack his kidneys. So now I'm over in Africa, okay? Now here's the thing. I wonder if that had happened to Brian prior to me going to Africa, would I have gone? Now, I'm a real pastor. I'm going to tell you this. I wonder if I would have gone. But I'm over in the boat, in the water, already when the storm happened. But now, let's fast forward. It's 2018. So he wasn't feeling too good Tuesday before last. Short version, his wife, now he's married, and she said, we're going to the hospital. We get a call like midnight. We go, and Brian is swollen again. Kidneys have stopped, and he's still in the hospital right now. Now, that's a little different. Now it's a little different because now Jesus told disciples, go to Capernaum. He's telling me, go to Brazil. Do I get in a boat and go to Brazil? Or do I say, no, I'm going to stay home with my son? Because we still waiting on the biopsy reports. We don't know. I saw him last night, and he's big. And Brian weighs 135 pounds with his clothes on. And now he's and I'm looking. And I'm sitting there, do I go to Capernaum? Because I see the storm that's coming. So I'm not asking you to do anything I don't do. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm immune to situations like nothing ever happened. Storms rise up in my life too. It's real talk. Jesus wasn't there physically with him. He's going to the mountain to pray. But here's the thing. He's not physically here with us either. But he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf right now. That's where he is. So see, I look at this situation. Remember now, I teach and I preach with an emphasis on the practical application of the word. I just can't use this as some kind of historical book. I have to know, how is this played out in my life today? Now, Paul said in Corinthians and in Romans that the things written in the Old Testament were written for my learning, for my example. But I believe the things in the New Testament work for me just as well. And if I can understand how God was working in and through the life of his disciples, those 12 that he had dedicated his life to, that he poured his life into, I know that's how he's working in my life. And I have learned something. The presence of adversity doesn't mean the absence of God. We get an adverse situation and we think, oh. And some of you are like, well, he must have sin in his life. So where was the disciples sin right now? When this storm is rising up within. I believe the Lord was giving them a chance to grow and mature and increase in their faith. Because when we read scripture, we hear about, oh, ye of little faith. And other times we hear him saying, oh, ye of great faith. And then sometimes it's like, where is your faith? And I have to make a decision that I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And God is a reward of them that diligently seek him. So a storm may be raging, but I got to trust that he's going to guide me through. And even if some water gets in my boat like it did the first time with these guys, it doesn't mean that God is not there and that he doesn't care. Because, see, at the end of the day, I know that I matter to him. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm important to him. He has loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son to me, who came, he lived, and he died. He was on a cross. He could have called down a legion of angels and wiped out everybody. But nevertheless, he chose to hang there, die, so that I can live. That's how much he loves me. I don't know of anybody else sending their children to die for me. I matter to him. So even if a storm is present, I got to know that doesn't mean that he is absent. You have to know that. I just believe Jesus was preparing them because ultimately I'm in the boat with you. Now I'm up here. You're going to do it by yourself because in a little while I won't be here anymore. And we have to grow and we have to mature. You know, I tell mothers a lot of times, you have to be careful how you're treating your sons. You want to do everything for them, be right there to protect them. And they grow up and they're not equipped to be a man. And then your daughter-in-law is going to have a hard time. You want a man. Somebody come break in your house, you need a man. Now, help me, Jesus. No, you don't need some man. All of a sudden, he gets an octave and like becomes a soprano. But see, what we have to do is allow them to grow. And I think that's what Jesus was doing now with his disciples, training them and getting them ready. I'm up here praying for you. Verse 17. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake towards Capernaum. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow going to Brazil. Verse 18, soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. And for some of you, you're about to step into something and it might get rough. And I'll say it again, the presence of adversity doesn't mean the absence of God. Please get that into your heart. And at this time in a storm, that's when you're going to begin to have doubts and like, do I matter? What is God doing? Why is he allowing me to go through this? Did I have sin in my, did I mess up? I went to church and I even tithed and gave my 10% and I helped pastor, I gave money for the mission trip. I helped that missionary delete a laptop from India 2 Sundays ago. I gave her. Good, I'm glad you gave. It doesn't mean like nothing won't happen. That's why you got to watch who you be watching on TV. Christian pastors, okay? Say, I matter. Jesus knew they were going to encounter the storm. Nothing catches God by surprise. I keep that in mind. Follow my logic, because I'm a very logical person, okay? I'm just sequential in my thinking, and it drives people crazy. You guys are artistic and creative. Sorry. I don't flow like you flow, okay? It's like 1 and 1 is 2, okay? But here's the thing. If he loves me, which it says he does, Psalms talks about his thoughts towards me and how numerous they are, okay? He cares so deeply about me. It says that. Psalms 8 says, what is man that he's so mindful of him? That he visits him, he cares so deeply for him. So I just put my name in there. What is Tony? Why are you so mindful of me? That you care so deeply for me. So if you care that deeply for me and a storm is coming, you must be okay with it. You must be okay with it. So then I approach it a little differently. Because see, sometimes we get into resistance. And you ever wonder why stuff stays in your life so long? Because you're getting resistance. You're trying so hard not to be a certain way. I mean, God has created you for a unique purpose, and you won't get with the program. Years pass, and I see some people still stuck. We our Fresh Start team, have a team of trainers and behavioral specialists, and we're working with transitional age youth who are coming out of foster care. And so we've got a great team doing a great job, and so we're working with a local organization. And we've got others we're going to be working with, too. And the reason we're doing this is because in me and Jackie's heart, we have seen Christians just get stuck. 12 years pass, nothing has changed in your life. No growth, no development. When Jesus said, I came to your mind to have life and have it more abundantly. I'm not talking Cadillac and Mercedes-Benz and BMW. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where your relationships become healthy, your thinking shifts. But see, often we have a traumatic event and we get stuck there. And we got to learn to transcend the trauma of the past. That's why they call it the past. It's behind you. It doesn't matter. But then what happens is we have something in the past. We develop belief systems, and we stay stuck. Like, it has to be this way. It has to. It doesn't. It doesn't. Your thinking has to shift. So you're introverted. I'm introverted, too. You better step out. And you guys that love people at every party, maybe you need to, like, not do so many parties. Sometimes we just become too much of who we are. And then when we do that, it begins to work against us. What was a strength now becomes a weakness. Do you get that? And so we're working with youth because we believe they can be productive adults. When 60% end up homeless or in jail, and I think it's 70% of girls end up pregnant that come out of foster care. And that's out of foster care. But we got the same thing within the church. A divorce rate is about the same as the world's. No, something has to change. So I look at the scriptures like this, and we got to apply this. So I can't help what happened to me, but I can help how I respond to it and change my thinking on it. Verse 19, they had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat, and they were terrified. Now, I get this, because, again, you have an expectation. You have an expectation of how things should be, how it should look. And all of a sudden, you out there dealing with the craziness, the waves, you doubting that you should have gone. Maybe someone like, well, I told you we should have stayed on the shore. Look at this storm. And someone like, where's your faith? And it's probably arguing and contention between them. And all of a sudden, you look up and you see something on the water. And it doesn't compute. And when things don't compute, we get scared. So before you look at the disciples and where are their faith, where's your faith? I told you I'm logical. God isn't. His ways are higher than my ways. I don't even pretend to understand him. I just purpose to obey him. You're terrified. And what fear does? Fear distorts. Fear stagnates. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. And often with fear, you're afraid of losing something. If God has a cattle on 1,000 hills, why are you afraid of losing something? Got to leave fear alone. And to think about it, too. And I know it blew their minds, but this you got to think about this, too. Verse 20, but he called to them, he said, don't be afraid, I am here. And I know he sent it to you now. Don't be afraid, I'm here. You matter to me. I have you. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yes. It's time to grow. Yes. And he's not going to put you in. See, I'm not upset. You know, God in heaven knows. If tomorrow they say, Pastor Tony, or just Tony, you can go to first class, I'm going. Business, whatever, premium economy, I'll take it, okay? Hallelujah. I like being comfortable too. But in life, comfort really for us is in emotions. And we take comfort in what's familiar. God told me to start a church. Like, are you serious? I'm an evangelist. We get out and get after it. I'm going to stay stuck in one place. That's boring. And in Corona, we just moved here. We don't even know anybody. And look at all y'all here today. Hallelujah. And then pastors, hey, can I work with you? Can I come up on you? Hey, I need you. I just, You just got to step into it. And then you get reports like we did last night. You know how many of those young people came up to me and said, we never heard what you're teaching. We can't wait for you to come back. Thank you. This is the best thing we've ever heard. Best thing we've ever heard. You got to step into that storm, no matter how it looks, and trust that God has you. 21. Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. And I think what happens with a lot of us, You got a destination you want to reach, but you're trying to do it your way. You believe it has to be this way. And the thing that I noticed something about us here in Corona, because everybody, you got your master's degree now, you got your beautiful home, got your business rocking and rolling, and the greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success, because then we begin to believe the hype. Because then subconsciously we begin to compare ourselves with everybody else and where they're doing. And generally in this community, we're doing better than average. Especially if you're African-American, you're doing better than average African-American. You're feeling pretty good about yourself. Hallelujah, and that's good. Thank God that he allowed you to be blessed here. But to whom much is given? And we forget that. And so then we get relaxed. We got work to do. There's a reason he allowed us to be born here, that we're experiencing this particular time, that we're here in 2018. 2019 is coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? It might not look like you think, but if you keep in mind, I matter. Oh, I matter to him. My life matters. My well-being matters. My spiritual maturity matters. I matter to the creator of the universe. And I hear this a lot, too. Oh, the universe is speaking to me, or speaking into the universe. You know, stay away from them people. Getting excited about the universe. I know the man who made the universe. You happen to know a gatekeeper somewhere important. I know the king, hallelujah. And king trumps any gatekeeper. Speak to the universe. When you find yourself in distress, remember that you matter to God. Your stormy situation did not catch him by surprise. It's an opportunity for you to grow and develop, and so you then will be prepared for the purpose in which he created you. That is what this is all about. And on the other side of your obedience, there are people waiting for you. There's a unique gift, talent that you have. You've been divinely given for an express purpose. I need you to understand that. And it's less about your comfort and what you want. It's more about you stepping into your purpose. So, yes, you're on the shore. You don't see Jesus. There's a storm ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. You matter to him, and you need to get in that boat and begin to row towards Capernaum. And on your way, if the storm comes, guess what? Look out on the shore. I'm telling you, he will not leave you nor forsake you. He will come. He will get in your boat. And immediately, I love that, immediately, they made it to the other shore. Immediately. And I looked that word up in Greek, and you know what immediately means? Immediately. Bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you. As we really learn that we matter to you, Father God, we thank you, Heavenly Father. You loved us so much, you gave us your